Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I believe we were starting off from Dala'il al-Ahzab wal-Wadha'if. Rattaba mashayikh al-tariqa al-awrad wal-wadha'if fi daw'in al-Qur'an wal-hadith hiya lil-mubtadi kad-dawa wa lil-muntahi kal-ghidha. So the mashayikh of the tariqa, they had arranged and codified certain litanies and formulae in the light of the Quran and Hadith. So the first sentence is actually sort of, it's very important. When you look at tasawwuf, we have to sort of see it as what it is, and that it really is in a certain way an ijtihadi endeavor, and it's based on various, although the base, the maqsad we already know, is based on the Quranic and prophetic maqasid or objectives. So that's clear. And in those places where the means by which to arrive at it were left open, the mashayikh exerted themselves to try to achieve those objectives in a way that's, number one, in compliance with the Quran and Sunnah. But number two, even the things they used to achieve that objective were derived from the Quran and Sunnah. Now, which particular thing a person may use, of course, is a matter of ijtihad. Do you tell someone, for example, to do la ilaha illallah first? Or do you tell them to do it second? Or do you tell them to do it in the end? That's going to vary from opinion to opinion and school of thought to school of thought. And that's why, for example, if you look at the different turuq, there is a difference in the ordering. And compared to tasawwuf, is a whole different subject in and of itself. But there is a difference in the ordering of the lessons, and because there's a difference in the ordering of the lessons, there's a difference in terms of the effects that it has on the student as they go progress through their suluk. Now, ideally, and in theory, regardless of which path you take, they all are supposed to end at the same final destination, if you will. So the destination is the same, it's just the paths are different. So, you know, a person can take one highway or a different highway, but in the end they're supposed to end up at the same spot. And the reason that the ways are different is just that people, if a different, just like a, you know, a different scholar will look at a different text, Imam Shafi and Imam Abu Hanifa and Imam Hanbal and Imam Malik were all looking at the same Quran. They were all looking at the same hadith. It's not like one had a different Quran, but they took different understandings from it. And so that's going to be, you're going to see that even more, I mean, it would be even more intelligible or understandable if that were more so the case when it came to the tasawwuf. So that was the first point. The second, then, هِيَ لِلْمُتَّدِي كَالْدَوَى وَلِلْمُنْتَهِي كَالْغِذَى. That for the beginner, it is دَوَى كِمَانُنْدْ هِيَ. It's in the meaning of, it's like medicine, and in, for the one who is well accomplished spiritually, and who is the spiritual savant, for such an individual, it will be like nourishment. And that's really what happens after a certain point in a person's suluk. In the beginning, you have to force yourself to do zikr, and it's difficult, and it's hard at the depths. But and as you're going through it, you're removing your spiritual diseases. And someone had once asked me, well, once you become, you know, get nisbah, do you still have to do zikr? Well, I mean, a person, when they do zikr, yes, they still have to do zikr, and they still, I mean, what, did Rasulullah say, some not continue to do zikr? He was in zikr at all times. But the process was different in the sense that when doing zikr, it's not something which is heavy on the nafs anymore. It's something that it enjoys, number one. And number two, since a person to a great degree has been spiritually purified, this serves as nourishment. And in the same way that if a body doesn't get nourishment, it will decay. In the same way, even though a person may be well accomplished spiritually, if they don't receive their spiritual nourishment, they will also begin to decay. لو داوى الإنسان عليه عدة أيام تحت رعاية الشيخ الكامل يجد في حياته انقلابا إسلاميا وثروة إيمانية وقرآنية. That if a person is persistent on these prescriptions for a number of days under the care and guidance of a true sheikh, he will find in his life an Islamic revolution, if you will. And the a treasure of Quran and Iman. وتدخل المحبة الإلهية في عضو 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 and the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter into every limb ويتغير رؤية عين ونطق لسان ومشي قدم and the way that they see with their eye or speak with their tongue and walk with their feet, all of those will be changed. يشعر السالك كأنما كان عليه غلاف نفاق وقد زال. And the spiritual traveler, he will, or seeker, will feel as if there was a veil of hypocrisy upon him that was removed. وبرز من الداخل إنسان صادق وخالص and becomes manifest from inside or comes out from inside an individual that is truthful and sincere. كما أن النبوة كانت كاملة في النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم in the same way that نبوة or prophethood was hidden and endowed within the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم but had not manifested itself. قال عليه الصلاة والسلام كنت نبيا وآدم بين الروح والجسد in the جامع الصغير that I was a Nabi and Adam عليه السلام was between soul and body, which means that even though he was a child, even though he was a youth, and he hadn't technically received his nubuwa bilquwa, right, or in potentiality, that nubuwa existed within him already, and it just actualized itself when Rasulullah was formally quote unquote given the nubuwa or manifested itself at the age of 40. رواه البيهقي إني عبد الله وخاتم النبيين وأبي منجدل في طينيته that البيهقي رحمه الله he narrates that I am the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and I was the seal of the prophethood and أبي منجدل was still in his state of being clay another proof to the same effect ولكن اهتج لإظهاره في العالم الظاهر إلى الخلوة والذكر. And so while the true individual, the good individual within one exists, it requires for it to manifest in the outer world, خلوة and ذكر. Or, I'm sorry, not in our state, in the state of Rasulullah says, and while that Nubuwa existed, for it to manifest itself required seclusion from people and engagement in dhikr. وَحَيَاتُ غَارِ حِرَّ دَلِيلٌ وَاضِحٌ عَلَى ذَلِكَ And the life of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was a clear proof upon that. Because what did he practice when he was in the cave of Hira? It was tahannuf. So he secluded himself from people for days on end. I mean, he lived, if you will, the life of a Sufi. And he was just in contemplation and fikr and Allah knows what he was engaging in the cave, but this process allowed for manifestation of that nubuwa within himself. كذلك الولاية تكون كاملة في الولي ولكن تحتاج للظهور إلى التقوى والطهارة والمواظبة على الأوراد. And in the same way, sainthood is endowed or remains hidden potentially in potentiality within the saint. But it requires for it to manifest itself taqwa and purity and persistence and continuity on the different spiritual prescriptions that one has been given. And one does that, it's not that they become a wali, we say that a person becomes a wali, but rather their wilaya that already existed within them is manifest. وقد كشف عن هذه السر الإمام رباني مجدد ألف ثاني بقوله كل إنسان ولي بالقوة that every person is potentially a wali والحاجة إلى الأعمال ليكون وليا بالفعل but the need is to action so that the person can become a saint in actuality فكأن كل إنسان وضع فيه استعداد لو استخدمها لأصبح وليا it is as if every individual it was placed within him the ability that if they were to use it that they would become a wali and that's really a riveting worldview and perspective on a person's humanity because it's positive it's musbat it's empowering and it gives hope because we don't see people as innately doomed to sin that we see people who are innately good or innately have the ability to become a wali. Rather, it requires just effort and good deeds to manifest that potential ability that they have within themselves. أنشد الشاه بيك خليفة الشاه أبي المعالي أبيات ومعناها that Shah Beek, who is the Khalifa of Shah Abi al-Mu'ali, he composed certain verses of poetry. Their meaning is ليس أحد جائع ساغبا بل في حقيبه كل في حقيبة كل إنسان جواهر ولا آلي ولا يعرفون فتح أقله فيمشون مفلسين فقراء. That no person is hungry and starving, but in his purse, in the purse or bag of every individual are jewels and pearls, and no one knows how to open, and they do not know how to open or untie the knot. So they walk in the world as if they're bankrupt and poor, meaning that everyone has the pearl and gems of wilaya that exist within themselves, but since they don't know how to open that and manifest that, they walk around in a spiritually poor and deprived state. كالبذر يكون فيه استعداد أن يكون شجرا وإن تيسر ذلك البذر التربي تحت رياية البستان في أرض خصبة يصير شجرة مثمرة وكذلك السالك لو اشتغل بالأخلاق الحسنة. That in the same way that a seed has the ability to become a tree, and to when تيسر لذلك البذر, particularly if that seed gets the opportunity to be under the care of a gardener in a land that is fertile, it will become a fruit-bearing tree. In the same way, the seeker, if he busies them or she busies themselves with good akhlaq, لأوراد تحت ظل الشيخ كامل أياما and for to the spiritual prescriptions under the shade of a كامل شيخ تفتح زهور الأخلاق الحسنة في شخصيته that a good character will begin to manifest itself automatically in his person or her personality وتصير شجرة رجائه مثمرة and he will become or she will become a tree that is fruitful. وهي الوصفة جربها ملايين الناس في الدنيا واستفادوا بها. And this is a prescription that millions of people have experienced the benefit in the dunya and benefited from it. And Mihazarji would basically, he gave a talk one time where he talked about a certain type of tree which is called a, what is it called? Shade tree? Shade plant? Shadow tree. Yeah, it's called a shadow plant. And basically this tree has to always be in the shade of something, and if it's not in the shade, then it withers and it can't grow. And he said that, you know, a salik should be like that with their sheikh, that they should be a shadow plant. That once when we are, and this is true whether or not a person gets nisbah, becomes a sheikh, gets khilafah, regardless of what a person's state becomes, they should always try to remain in that, in the shade of their elders. And it's when a person removes themselves from that thing and feels themselves complete and feels themselves whole, that is the beginning of their downfall. كما أن الصيادليا يقولون إن تأكل السكر تجدوه هلوة كذلك الشيخ الكامل عندما يلقن بالأوراد يكون على ثقة من أنه يستفيد السالك يقينا ويكون تحت قدمه صخر. That in the same way the pharmacist says that if you eat sugar, you will find it sweet. In the same way the Sheikh Kamil, when he gives certain spiritual purifications, he is completely sure that it will benefit the Salik, and he says this with surety. And وَيَكُونُ تَحْتَ قَدْمِهِ صَخْرٌ as if he's standing on a firm rock. And Hazarji, I mean, I've heard him more than one occasion that he's seen people's lives so radically change in so many ways with these wazaif and with these spiritual litanies and these spiritual exercises that when he prescribes it, he says, I feel like I'm standing on a chattan, you know, like a very firm, like a mountain. And he says it with that much confidence. نعم لو وقع شخص في يد شيخ ناقص. Yes, if a person falls in the hands of a deficient sheikh, أو يكون شيخ كامل ولكن لا يواظب الصالح على الأوراد. But or the sheikh is kamil, he is a complete sheikh and a true sheikh, but the salik is not consistent on their lessons. فهو خارج عن المبحث. So that's outside the scope of this discussion. وهي مثل مريض يأخذ الوصفة من طبيب زاعي الصيت ويمشي والوصفة في جيبه ولا يتناوله ويقول بعد أيام للطبيب. It's like a person who's sick, who takes a prescription from a doctor, and he walks with the prescription in his pocket, not taking the prescription medication. When he says after some days to the doctor, لم أثق, that I didn't get better. فيسأل الطبيب هل تناولت الدواء, did you take the medicine? فيجيب المريض, and the sick person, the ailing person, he replies نعم وضعته في جيبي. He says yes, I put the prescription in my pocket. فيقول الطبيب يا شقي, he says the doctor says unfortunate one, لو وضعته في بطنك لكان مفيدا, had you put the medicine in your stomach, you would have found it beneficial. ومن جمال هذه الأوراد أنها سهلة في العمل ويحصل بها التزكية والإحسان. And from the beauty of these prescriptions or prescriptive exercises is that they're easy to do, and a person can accomplish spiritual purification and ascension and perfection with it. ثم تيسر العمل بالشرع كله, and then acting on the Sharia becomes easy. All of it. وهذا القول ثابت كثبوت أن المجموع الاثنين والاثنين أربع. And this statement is established the same way that the formula is established, that 2 + 2 = 4. فمن لم يقن فليجرب يعرف حقيقة الحال. And whosoever doesn't have any yaqeen in this or full faith in this, then let them try it out, and then they will understand what the reality of the situation is. And that's one thing that's really true. While a person, sometimes it's only our laziness that gets to us, but the beautiful thing about this tarifa is that it seamlessly integrates into our everyday lives. You don't have to put your life on hold to become good. You don't have to put your life on hold to become spiritual. You can basically do everything. And so that's why you have people in tarifa that are neurosurgeons. You have people who are business execs. You have people who are, stay-at-home moms who have 3 kids and they're like ready to pull their hair out because they're so busy. Doesn't really matter what you're involved in or how busy you are. It doesn't really influence how much you have to do. It's just how you do it. And usually there's such light things that you can do it while you're cooking. You can do it while you're driving to work. You can do it while you're doing X, Y, and Z. And so there's so much flexibility in it that it really there's no excuse except our own selves why we don't. So here are the wazaif, the first prescriptions. Number one practice of tasawwuf, or the lessons of tasawwuf, is az-zikr, is remembering Allah. ويسمى الوقوف القلبي. This is also called وقوف قلبي. ذكر الله دواء القلوب وشفاء من الأمراض الباطنة. The remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the balm, or it is the medication of the heart, and it is the cure for the inner ailments, spiritual diseases. قال الإمام ابن تيمية رحمه الله. ابن تيمية رحمه الله, he said, ذكر الله للقلب كالماء للسمك. That the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the heart is like the water for the fish. يجد به السالك بشارة. And the seeker finds with it بشارة, glad tidings. فاذكروني أذكركم. remember me and I will remember you, as it comes from in the Quran. And فَإِنْ ذَكَرَنِي فِي نَفْسِي ذَكَرْتُهُ فِي نَفْسِي, that if I remember, if he remembers me in himself, then I will remember him in myself. So a person has the glad tidings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering him or her if they remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَسَعَادَةً أَنَّ جَلِيسٌ مَنْ ذَكَرَنِي, that I am sitting with, I am the person who sits with, or the companion of the person who remembers me. And that's why when a person is engaged in zikr, they feel this qurb with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when a person is sometimes even in their prayer and they feel far from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because even though they are in prayer, they're not remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that prayer. If a person were to pray while they are remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if they were to make sujood and say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la while remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then definitely they will find that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be close to them. They will feel the qurb of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Adal Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimullah, who is, I believe, the student of Ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah ta'ala, fil wabil al-sayyib, al-sayyib, lil-zikri mi'atu fa'idah, that Imam Hafiz ibn Qayyim al-Jawzi rahimullah, he, in his book al-wabil al-sayyib, he counts for zikr, or enumerates, lists 100 benefits. And it's funny because many of the people who are most against the tasawwuf, and a person can't be against the tasawwuf unless they're against the Qur'an, because, it, I mean, the ideals of the tasawwuf are enshrined within the Qur'an and the Sunnah. They're against the practice, you could say, of organized tasawwuf as such. And many times that's due to misgivings or misinformation. But they're oftentimes, they take recourse to Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, and these are the very people who are being quoted here. And they were very people who are mashayikh, and the ulama of old were people who understood the importance of spirituality, and there were people who understood the centrality of spirituality, and they understood the very means by which it's established. And those, and so in many ways, there's no real difference. So they understood that zikr was important. And so that's what so when the mashayikh were making the tartib of the lesson, they understood that it had to include zikr. And that's what we see. So al-zikru naw'an, lisani wa qalbi. That zikr is of two types. It can either be done on the tongue or it can be done in the heart. I mean, there's no other way that you can imagine it can be done. It can either be done it through mentioning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's name, or mentioning something through the tongue, or thinking about it or through the heart. So the qala sha'ir, lisani wa qalbi yafrihani bi zikriha, that my heart and my tongue and my heart become happy with her mention. Wa mal mar'u illa qalbuhu wa lisanuhu, and what is a man except his heart and his tongue? Sabata bil ahadith an-nabawiyya anna dhikra qalbi يَفْضُلُ عَلَى الذِّكْرِ اللِّسَانِ سَبْعِينَ مَرَّةً. And it is established by hadith, the prophetic hadith, that the zikr that is performed on the, in the heart is more lofty and holds more preferable and holds ascendance over zikr that is done on the tongue by 70 times. وَفَضْلُ ذِكْرِ الْقَلْبِ عَلَى ذِكْرِ اللِّسَانِ أَقْلًا بِوُجُوهٍ آتِيَةٍ. And the importance of, or the superiority of zikr of the heart over the zikr of the tongue, is understandable by the following ways. So yumkinu zikr al-qalbi kulli waqt. It's possible to do zikr at every time. Wala yumkinu zikr al-lisan kulli waqt. You can't do the zikr, verbal zikr at all times. فَالسَّالِكُ عِندَمَا يَأْكُلُ الطَّعَامُ أو يلقي محاضرة أو يجلس على المتجر يعقد مع الزبون لا يستطيع أن يعمل بلسانه في وقت واحد عملين. That there's multiple situations, for example, when a person is eating, or they're meeting some people who have come to visit, or they're sitting on a conference table and or in a business meeting, and they're making transactions. A person is not able to do two different things with his tongue at the same exact time. فهو إما أن يتكلم وإما أن يذكر الله تعالى. So he can either speak or he can remember Allah سبحانه وتعالى. إذ يمكن في وقت واحد عمل واحد. So when in, at one particular time, only one particular action is possible. بينما يمكن ذكر القلب كل ساعات وآن. While at the same time, it is possible to engage in ذكر القلب at all times. And every moment, مستلقياً وجالساً جالساً وقائماً وماشياً, whether a person is lying down or they're sitting or they're standing or they're walking. يتحرك اللسان عند ذكر اللسان ويهتز الشفة فيخاف على الذاكر الرياء. That when a person does ذكر لساني ذكر verbal ذكر, their tongue moves, and the lips also move. So there is fear for the person who is doing zikr of riya. بَيْنَمَا الزِّكْرُ قَلْبِ يَعْلَمُهُ إِمَّا الزَّاكِرُ وَإِمَّا الْمَذْكُورُ. As for the zikr of the heart, the only person who knows it is either the person who is remembering or the person who is being remembered. وَالذِّكْرُ الْقَلْبِ لَا يَسْمَعُهُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ بَلْ يَجِدُونَ رِيحًا طَيِّبَةً. And the zikr, when it is done in the heart, even the angels can't hear it, but they find a beautiful scent emanating from the person. وَتَتَبَيَّنَ الْحَقِيقَةُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ طِيبَ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. And it will become clear, the reality on the day of Qiyamah, that that beautiful scent was the fragrance of the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a poem, يَكُونُ بَيْنَ الْعَاشِقِ وَالْمَعْشُوقِ سِرًّا كِرَامٌ كَاتِبُونَ لَيْسَ لَهُمْ بِهِ خَبَرُ وَلَا لِهَذَا يُسَمَّ. Oh, okay. That there is a secret between the one who is madly in love and his beloved. And كِرَامٌ كَاتِبِينَ, they don't even have any idea what it is. ولهذا يسمى ذكر القلب ذكرا خفي. So this is another name for ذكر قلبي. It's also called ذكر خفي or the hidden ذكر. إن محل الذكر في الجسم الإنساني هو القلب. Indeed, the place of ذكر in the human body is the heart. وأما اللسان فهو هو آلة لإظهار فقط. آلة الإظهار فقط. So the tongue really is just a tool to manifest that ذكر. لم تقول أم لولدها قط يا بنية لساني يذكرك كثيرا. A mother never tells her son that, or her children that, oh my children, indeed my tongue remembers you much. بل تقول دائما, but she always says, indeed my heart remembers you much. فعلم أن محل الذكر هو القلب. And so it is very clear and it is known that the place of zikr is really the heart. فَتَبَيَّنَ بِالدَّلَائِلَ الْأَقَلِيَّ أَنَّ ذِكْرَ الْقَلْبِ أَفْضَلُ مِنَ الذِّكْرِ اللِّسَانِ. So it becomes clear from, rational proofs that the zikr of the heart is superior to the zikr of the tongue. قَالَ الشَّاعِرُ مَا مَعْنَاهُ. So a shair said to the effect, كُنْ خَبِيرًا بِالْبَاطِنِ وَأَجْنَبِيًا عَنِ الظَّاهِرِ. Be cognizant of the inner and be a foreigner to that which is manifest. هذا أحسن طريق وفي الدنيا نادر. This is the best path and in the dunya rarely is it found. المشائخ يسمون هذا الذكر القلب بالوقوف القلب. And the مشائخ, they say this ذكر of the heart is called al-wukuf al-qalbi. And al-wukuf means to stop, and al-qalb means the heart, meaning is to stop the heart on the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the nature of thoughts is generally is the cars passing through a intersection. And so there's constant traffic. You can't stop the traffic. And so when people get bad thoughts, sometimes they say, how do I stop the bad thoughts? You just have to let them pass, because the very nature of a thought is that it is fleeting. However, when the nafs becomes attached to something or the heart becomes attached to something, then what happens is then that car It's like a person with a sign stops that car in the middle of the intersection. And while everything else might be passing around it, that thing that gets stopped in the intersection becomes, a person becomes fixated on that. And it seems that all their attention is on that and everything else seems ceases to exist. It's not that a person, and that's what we call wukuf ya qalbi. It's stopping the heart on the zikr of Allah, or stopping the zikr of Allah in the heart, however you want to look at it. أَمَرَ بِهِ غَيْرَ مَرَّةٍ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي الْقُرْآنِ وَالْحَدِيثِ. And أُمِرَ بِهِ, that it, we've been ordered with it with more than once in the Qur'an and Hadith. And so now we're going to go into the Dalil from the Qur'an Majid next week, inshallah, and from the Hadith. وَأَخْرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرٌ خَيْرٌ جَزَاكُمُ